Hello again. You're listening to the News at One. The government, as you've been hearing, is expected now to win a Dáil vote this afternoon on ending the no-fault evictions ban after reaching agreement with members of the Regional Independence Group of TDs. Minister for Housing Dara O'Brien signalled in the Dáil last night that the coalition would accept amendments to its counter-motion and, as a result, is now expected to stave off a potential parliamentary defeat. Dara O'Brien is in our Dáil studio. Very good afternoon to you, Minister, and welcome to the programme.
Good afternoon, Brian. Thank you very much.
So is that the case? Will the government have the Dáil votes now to defeat this Sinn Féin motion?
Well, the vote will be taken at 4:30 later on today. The government have stood firmly behind a difficult but correct decision. We've had very constructive engagement with members of the Regional Independent Group and indeed with others. They brought forward a number of additional measures that they would like to see, some of which we were working on, but happy to expand them further. And I found the engagement with that group over the term of this government to be very productive.
You've got the support of at least some of them?
Yeah, they've signalled that, and I don't want to get into individual members, but I know that publicly a number of them have come out and thankfully have said that they will be supporting the government decision. I think there's a recognition that whilst this is a very difficult decision, it's a correct one, and there's a big difference in the two sides in the Dáil today. There are those who want to store up problems and make a difficult situation worse, and there are those of us in government supported by Regional Independents and others who want to deal with those problems now, want to be honest with people.
You yourself have acknowledged, Minister, that a consequence of lifting the ban is going to be a rise in the number of homeless. There'll be evictions now taking place which will result in that for very many individuals and families. Have you a handle on what the scale of both evictions and perhaps homelessness might be as a result of this? How many notices to quit, for example, have been issued in the final quarter of 2022 to the Residential Tenancies Board, which would be a key indicator of what's likely to happen?
It's important, firstly, to state that there isn't a direct correlation in any way between notices to quit and those who enter homelessness. We've used the eviction pause and the moratorium to deliver more homes, and I said I would do that. Like, we delivered in the last quarter of last year about 6,000 new social homes, 1,500 came back into use. We've expanded the emergency accommodation. We actually exited about 750 adults and nearly 350 families from homelessness, all just in quarter four. So what I'm saying is that, you know, we've used that period to ramp up delivery. We've had a good start this year too. What I would say to people, other measures like the purchase with tenant in situ, which is really taking...
I want to come back to some of those issues, but just what is the estimate at this stage of the numbers that could be evicted in the coming weeks and months? Well, now, leaving aside any mitigation measures,
sure,
which we'll
of course.
Come to.
No, I understand the question. Look, there are notices to quit that were paused during the eviction period, okay?
7,500 up to September.
Yeah, now it is impossible to estimate, you know, what percentage of those people and families would end up in emergency accommodation.
I'm not asking about that. I'm asking you how many notices to quit have been issued in the last quarter of last year, which would give us some kind of a handle of as the numbers that might be facing eviction now once the ban is lifted.
Well, the figures from the RTB have got to be verified, and we see those figures and they will be published shortly.
Have you seen those figures?
No, I haven't seen those figures. But they're independently verified.
Yeah, so you're taking a major decision now with implications for thousands of families without the key figures that will tell you what the implications of that will be.
What I would say to you this, Brian, is we've taken a difficult but correct decision on the basis of what is in the best interest of the housing sector and providing additional accommodation. The alternative from Sinn Féin is very simply to say extend the ban for another 6 months, until January, with a complete cliff edge, no phasing out of it. They're not against evictions either.
We spoke to Mary Lou McDonald on this programme yesterday at some length about what their position is, and she answered questions on that. I want to find out what the government's understanding is of the implications of this decision. And you're indicating to me that you actually don't know.
No, I'm not indicating that at all, Brian. We've seen the figures published before. I have publicly said that the decision in the short term that we've taken could lead to a short term increase in homelessness. That's not something that I welcome. And there's many factors as to why people fall into homelessness.
Yeah. Like, and how many thousands of evictions?
Well, what we're looking at, Brian, the figures that have been published to date are there for everyone to see, okay? So what I'd say to you is, and I'm not being evasive in any way, there you cannot directly correlate notices to quit to say that that amount of people or families indeed will fall into emergency accommodation.
Yeah, no, I understand.
What I will say to you though, and the mitigation measures are very important, because what I said when I brought in the, and the government brought in the eviction moratorium, was it would be temporary. We already have a situation in the private rental market, whether some like to ignore that or not, where we've had landlords exiting for the last 6 years, a shrunken market that's there with decreased supply. And our firm belief was a further extension, I'll just conclude on this, Brian, a further extension of this would make a difficult situation much worse. So I have to take a responsible decision, whilst for some it won't be popular, and I understand that, but government are there to make the right decisions, even if they're tough ones, not populist ones.
One of the decisions that's reported has been taken to try and expand the number of properties that might be available for rent is to allow older people who are availing of the Fair Deal nursing home scheme to retain 100% now. At the moment, it's 60% of income that they might get from renting out their family home, to increase that now to allow them to keep all of that rental income 100%. That's reported by the Irish Independent today. Is that the case?
It is. And actually, this is something that 6 months ago, actually, we made the initial changes to the Fair Deal contribution. There are a number of properties out there, difficult exactly to estimate, but people estimate between 4,000 and 8,000 properties there that are vacant because people are in long-term care. Now, this would be a decision that a family and the homeowner would make. One of the barriers to that government believe has been the high level of contribution that has to be made. So when I brought this change forward 6 months ago, I said I would review it in 6 months. This actually coincidentally falls next week. And we will be making that change, because every lever that we can use to provide additional supply, both new or bringing existing stock back into use, we will do that.
And that would take effect within what, a matter of weeks? Could be done quickly?
Yes, very quick. I said, just to say, Brian, the 6 month review is due actually next week, so I intend to move on it next week. And the other measures, like the purchase with tenant in situ that I do want to mention, that's something that I brought in last year.
Yeah.
And we've over 1,000
It's a very low take up, hasn't it? I mean, it's been reported this week just 367 homes were bought by local authorities right across the country since last April under this scheme.
Well, actually, the City and County Managers Association were in the Oireachtas Committee yesterday, and they were very clear that since I issued the circular last April, more than 1,000 such acquisitions have either been completed or being progressed. And your listeners will know that, you know, when you buy a house, you go through conveyancy.
Yeah.
That can take a bit of time.
But the actual number of sales closed as we speak, I think I'm correct in saying is 367.
Yeah, that's actually slightly more than that, Brian.
Slightly more, okay.
It's closer to 600. What I would say to you is this, is that there are those in the opposition who are using these numbers. Like, I've had Dublin City Council, for argument's sake, Sinn Féin came out last week and said there are only 7 properties purchased in Dublin, when they know that Dublin City Council alone have nearly 400 properties that they're progressing through conveyancy. That's a normal sale process. And what that does, at least the tenant knows that the conveyancy is happening, the sale is agreed, and it's just the legals behind that. But this is a good way.
Yeah,
this
but we're talking, sorry to cut across you, but we're talking in the year since you introduced this scheme of perhaps, if you include all those properties that are going through a sale process, maybe it's hundreds. And your target for this year is 1,500.
We will do that, and I estimate we will do a lot more than that. I've given clear direction to the local authorities on this, that they're to purchase homes with tenants in situ, and many of them are doing that. I actually wrote as recently as last week to every chief executive across the country on this. We're providing the finance to do it. It's a very good way of ensuring that people who are on social housing lists and receipt of housing assistance payments and others like that can be housed in their home permanently. Just to say this, Brian, is the 1,500 is at least 1,500. And I envisage, based on looking at the pipeline, and we have our own unit set up within the department to manage this too, that we will do more than that. And we've also brought in for those private tenants.
Yeah, this right of first refusal.
Yeah,
yeah, which I did want to ask you about.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
What is that? What is the right here? And how is that right vindicated? Or would it be vindicated?
Yeah, no, good. No, look, basically in some European states, this is used whereby if a landlord is selling, the landlord must offer the property first to the tenant. And should the tenant either one, want to buy it, and or two, be in a position to buy it, it's offered to them first on an independent market value basis. Now, to assist in that, what we're doing is the First Home Scheme, which is a scheme that I brought forward, which has been very successful. We've had over over 1,200 approvals already. That's for a lot of renters, by the way, who wanted to buy new homes.
Sorry to cut across you. I'm watching the clock. What is the right? What actual right does a tenant have here? I mean, they can make an offer, but what? Where's their right to have that first crack at buying the property?
Oh, well, the right will be underpinned in legislation. So it'll be.
And how will that be done?
It'll be a legal right. It'll be done by way of primary legislation.
So if a landlord wants to sell a property, they would be obliged to offer that property at a market price.
Yes.
To the tenant.
And if they're not
happy with the price being offered by the tenant, to go to the next stage?
No, it's based on independent market valuation. And actually what we're seeing in the market right now, Brian, is that privately many landlords are selling to their tenants.
And will they have to accept that independent market valuation?
The independent market valuation will be assessed. And if it's based on a market value, that will be accepted. And we're seeing that happening.
Sorry, will the landlord be obliged to accept the price?
The landlord will be obliged to offer an to offer the property to
no, I understand tenant. That, but will they obliged to accept the offer if the offer
if it's a market price? Yes,
so they won't then be allowed to go to the open market to test that.
Well, you see, what you're doing is it is an open market price, okay?
But you don't really know that until you actually go to the market.
You put
up the for sale sign. Yeah.
Just to say on this, Brian, we're already seeing this happening. The difference with the measures that we're bringing forward is we're going to provide assistance to tenants to actually purchase those homes through the First Home Scheme, which means that the state can take up to a 30% equity in those homes. And the other thing that is really crucially important for those who aren't in a position to buy, that we're looking to convert those tenancies to cost rental tenancies, which this government brought forward. Mm-hmm. We've over 1,000 cost rental tenancies approved already.
Yeah.
So what that means is that if someone can't afford it, that an approved housing body or a local authority from the 1st of April, by the way, will be in a position to purchase that home and rent it back on a secure tenure basis and on an affordable rental basis.
Just,
so
they're
very significant changes.
Before I let you go, Minister, you know, a lot of people are scratching their heads. I'm wondering, why were measures of this sort not being considered and being brought in while the ban was in place rather than in the final week or two before it's due to expire?
Well, with respect, Brian, many of them have been. The tenant in situ was in place already. We had the First Home Scheme in place. We've been working on the assistance for private tenants to actually
purchase
home.
Changes that you've introduced to try.
We've just been
talking about the amendments that you're bringing forward to these schemes.
Well, Brian, in the course of the Housing for All plan, we've made changes as we move forward to deliver additional supply. And what I would say to you is this: is we've been successful in the first year delivering 30,000 new builds, bringing vacant properties back into use, more first time buyers than we've seen in over 15 years, and affordable homes for the first time in a generation.
You're still going to fall short of what it looks like on your social housing targets for last year.
We're going to be very close. We're going to be very close to the overall target.
Well, very close is not meeting the target.
Well, Brian, I think,
and we're still waiting for the figure.
If I could answer, we verify all the returns from the local authorities and the approved housing bodies when they come back in. We'll publish those figures very shortly, and it may be a disappointment to some in the opposition that we'll have built more new social homes in 2022 than we've done since 1975.
Right.
And I think by any fair yardstick, with the issues that we had with supply chain and inflation earlier last year, I think that is a very good performance. Okay. And we're going to do more this year.
Minister for Housing, Dara O'Brien, thanks for talking to us on the programme.